Lovell is best remembered for his space travel, especially on the ill-fated mission to the moon with Apollo 13. But he was no stranger to wild misadventures by the time he joined NASA. Before entering the space program, Lovell flew Banshee night fighters in the Navy. One night in particular stands out. He was flying over the Sea of Japan, but when it came time to land, he couldn't find his aircraft carrier. He had been following the wrong homing signal, transmitted on the same frequency as his carriers, but leading him in the wrong direction. Realizing the problem, Lovell turned to his backup plan, a printed set of communication codes strapped to his knees. He had been frustrated for some time by how hard it was to read the tiny print, and so he had pieced together a new clip light to augment the dim cockpit lights. Eager to test his invention, he plugged it into the electrical board. There was a flash of bright light, and then pitch black. Lovell's contraption had shorted the circuit, blowing not only his new light, but also every bulb in the instrument panel. And so he sat, hurtling through the night sky, wondering where to aim and how to find his way home over the immense waters. This vast openness, this absence of everything but chilly possibility, is where creation begins. The image is familiar from the poetry of Genesis, with this island home of ours painted as a formless void. Darkness covers the face of the deep, empty of everything but the swirling, sweeping wind of God. In John's Gospel, we circle back to this open drawing board. In the beginning, he starts out, his words conjuring up this vast emptiness. Into that space comes the Word, who was with God, who indeed was God. This Word was coming into being, creating, bringing light into that first deep night. It can be hard to look directly at the light when we have been buried in the dark. It takes time for our eyes to adjust. We slowly make sense of the new light enough to follow, reshaping our actions and the shifting landscape. It's true in the grogginess of a 2 a.m. wake-up call, fumbling for a switch or a phone, something to light the way. And it can be true with the light of Christ. It can feel baffling as we first recognize and receive this light that John names as the true light. So often it appears in surprising ways. The wonder and confusion can continue as we respond and act. What is it that we're seeing? How do we follow? And sometimes it's just really hard to make out the light. We squint, scanning the horizon for possibility. It may seem like we're more of a remnant at this time, a torn scrap of what was. And this was the case for the shards of Israel that the prophet Jeremiah depicts in the Old Testament reading appointed for this Sunday. They feel broken. They're scattered, and they're looking for a guide, but running on little more than the fumes of hope. And maybe that's where some of you are today. Still reeling from the holidays, maybe from being with family, or from the lack thereof. So if you enjoyed the blessing of family festivities over the holidays, wonderful. Share that light. And if you didn't, if you bickered, if you were alone, if you gave up the hope of belonging to if the shared burdens felt like more than you could keep carrying, John and Jeremiah are speaking to you. Even here, in what looks like empty darkness, John tells us that light is on the way. Even these torn remnants can be brought together, Jeremiah says. They may be a new shape, a new image of family, but it will be whole. We will come home. Thankfully and realistically, Jeremiah also promises us room to be honest in this homecoming. He knows that disappointment and loss are still present, that weeping is a part of it. And these are not roadblocks as we are gathered back together and brought home. Whatever has held you back or kept you down or convinced you that you don't belong, Jeremiah has a long list of these things. The way your body works, the beautiful burden of parenting, the frightening pain of birthing something new. Whatever it is, Jeremiah teaches that God welcomes all of these parts into this recreated family. Back to Jim Lovell, racking his brain to decipher the way home as he flew through the night sky. He contemplated ditching his plane in the freezing water, hoping that maybe somehow he could survive long enough to be found in the morning. In the dark cockpit, his eyes began to adjust, and that's when he saw it. Far below, a faint glow, almost imperceptibly soft green. As he studied it, Lovell realized that his aircraft carrier had churned up bioluminescent algae and agitated it until it glowed. Faint as it was, he could only see it because he was in complete darkness. He turned his plane, trusting that the bioluminescence was lighting his path. As we start to weave together our remnants, as we seek to follow this light, we have to practice taking in light in all its forms. If it comes as a piercing and unmistakable flash, fantastic. But sometimes this light may come in the darkest part of the night, becoming visible as we settle in. And so, like Lovell, we open ourselves to see and trust this bioluminescence in its subtle beauty. Even the word itself strikes me, bioluminescence, life and light, the light of our living incarnation, the Word made flesh. And it was a cold light that he saw, not a burning fire or even the glow of a warm body, but a cold light in the vast darkness of the ocean, churned up and still pointing the way. And it was enough for Lovell, stranded over the ocean. But while that algae guided him home, he still wasn't successful on the first try. Without his instrument panel, much of his flying remained guesswork. On his first attempt, he realized at the last minute that he was far too close to the water, and he tore back up the last second, circling around. Then, the next time, he was much, much higher than usual, but he went in for a drop landing anyways. He slammed down, blew two tires, and finally, he violently stopped when the plane's tail hook caught the very last wire across the deck. Home and safe, but not an easy ride. Frankly, this sounds a lot like what our prophets promise. We will be woven together as family. We will make our way home, and it may be awfully dicey along the way. Light will come, and yet we have to be ready to perceive its many different forms. And so, as we near the end of this Christmas, moving into the new year, where will we look for the light? How will you practice letting your eyes adjust to a new light through the darkness? And how will you step forward as a guide, as light, as one of the markers on the path? It's at once a simple and monumental task. We seek the light and help to shine it forth. We open ourselves up to this light, even in the night, even when it's no more than a faint glow, and we trust